إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Yesterday, our discussions were on Babu Jaza'il Walidain, the chapter about paying back both parents, paying back the goodness of parents with goodness. And Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufraj, he has cited a number of ahadith and a number of athar. He has mentioned the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that لا يجزي ولد والده إلا أن يجده مملوكا فيشتريه فيعتقه. The child would not have sufficed goodness for goodness of his father until he finds him as a slave, and then he buys him into freedom. After that, Al-Imam al-Bukhari cited the hadith of Ibn Umar, his hadith of Mawquf, as we said, the Athar of Ibn Umar, in which one of the people who was making tawaf was declaring and asking from Ibn Umar. He was declaring what he did and how ready he was to make himself available for his mother, as he writes. And on the same occasion, he was asking Ibn Umar, Aturani jazaituha, do you think that I have paid her back? And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma replied him and said, you have not paid back. You have not even paid back a single groan from the groan of the mother when she gave birth to the child. One of the benefits from this Athar of Ibn Umar we read yesterday, we did not mention, is that we should not be impressed by a good deed we do, a kind of kindness we direct towards our parents. We should not be impressed by our kindness towards our parents. We should not be so impressed when we do good to our parents to the extent that we begin to think as if we have paid them back. A child builds a whole house, 3-story building, 10-story building, and says, Mommy, this is a gift to you. You have not paid back. Don't be impressed by what you have done to your parents in terms of goodness to think that you have paid back, because you cannot pay back. You can only show goodness for their goodness, but you cannot equalize the goodness that they have shown to you. You can't pay it back exactly, especially the mother. So none of us should be impressed with the goodness that we have directed to our parents, and then we'll be so puffed up to think that, oh, I have paid back my mother, because you cannot pay back. None of us can pay back the goodness of our mothers. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us good and kind children towards our parents. From those reports that we'll be reading today regarding how to pay back goodness with goodness, or how the people in the past have paid goodness with the goodness of parents, trying to pay back goodness for goodness, we are coming to 2 reports from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and a hadith from Abdullah ibn Amr al-As from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this will bring us to the 12th report in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufraj. This will bring us to the 12th report in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufraj. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he said, but I like us to combine the 12th report with the 14th report, the 12th report with the 14th report. They are both the same report from Abu Hazim, who was reporting from Abu Murra, Mawla Ummi Ani. Abu Hazim was reporting from Abu Murra, who was a freed slave of Ummu Hani. Abu Murra, who was a freed slave of Ummu Hani, is the same person who has reported the 12th report in Al-Adab al-Mufrad. We will be combining the 12th report with the 14th report because they are one and single event, one and the same event. They happened in the same place to the same person and have been reported by the same person. So it is a single report. So the question of why then has Al-Imam al-Bukhari repeated it twice in this book, we'll mention it as we read along, inshallah. In it, in the 12th report, firstly, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, for those of us who have our text in Arabic, and they are all carrying asanid, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, حدثنا عبد الله الصالح قال حدثني الليث قال حدثني خالد ابن يزيد عن سعيد ابن عن سعيد ابن أبي هلال عن أبي حازم عن أبي مرة مولى عقيل أن أبا هريرة رضي الله عنه كان يستخلفه مروان وكان يكون بذي الحليفة فكانت أمه في بيت وهو في آخر قال فإذا أراد يخرج فإذا أراد أن يخرج وقف على بابه فقال السلام عليك يا أمتاه ورحمة الله وبركاته فتقول وعليك يا بني ورحمة الله وبركاته فيقول رحمك الله كما ربيتني صغيرا فتقول رحمك الله كما بررتني كبيرا ثم إذا أراد أن يدخل صنع مثله. This is the report from Al-Imam al-Bukhari. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Abdullah ibn Salih. This reporter, Abdullah ibn Salih, Rahimahullah, is one of the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. Amongst the scholars of Hadith, when they say Abdullah ibn Salih, they add a phrase. They will say Katibul Layth. Yarhamukullah. Abdullah ibn Salih here is popularly referred to as Katibul Layth, is the secretary, so to speak, of Al-Imam al-Layth ibn Sa'd, Rahimahumullah. And he has reported this hadith from Al-Imam al-Layth. Al-Imam Abdullah ibn Salih is the secretary of Al-Imam al-Layth ibn Sa'd, and he has reported this hadith from him. So he said, قَالَ حَدَّثَنِي الْلَيْثِ ibn Sa'd. Al-Imam al-Layth ibn Sa'd was a great scholar of hadith and fiqh. It will be sufficient when we say someone was a teacher of Al-Imam al-Shafi'i. It's sufficient to say, oh, he's a scholar. He was a great scholar. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i's teacher. That was one of Al-Imam al-Shafi'i's teacher, Al-Imam al-Layth ibn Sa'd al-Misri. Layth ibn Sa'd al-Misri, rahimahullah. He was a teacher of Al-Imam al-Shafi'i. And he was a colleague of Al-Imam al-Malik ibn Anas. Layth ibn Sa'd was a colleague of Malik ibn Anas, Al-Imam Malik, Imam Dar al-Hijra. In fact, it is widely reported in the books of Sirah that Al-Imam al-Layth ibn Sa'd was the one who was spending on Al-Imam Malik. Say, Malik, you sit down in Medina, be teaching. We will spend on you. He was stupendously rich and he was profusely knowledgeable. Al-Imam al-Layth ibn Sa'd was rich, and he was knowledgeable. It Sometimes they would even write letters to Ali Imam Malik and say, if they ask you questions and you don't know the answers, send them to me. I will answer and reply. I'll send you back the answers. He was so knowledgeable. Ali Imam Malik, rahimahullah. They were pairs. They were colleagues. Rahimahumullah. So the extent that Ali Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, would say that Alaysu afuqahu min Malik. Imam Shafi'i, who was a student of Malik, who was a student of Al-Layth ibn Sa'd, the student of the two of them, Al-Shafi'i, Muhammad ibn Idris al-Muttalibi, he says, Al-Layth afuqahu min Malik. Al-Imam Al-Layth ibn Sa'd. It's an expensive statement, so we have to say who said it. Al-Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, said, Al-Imam Al-Layth afuqahu min Malik. He was more of a greater scholar of jurisprudence than Al-Imam Malik, rahimahullah. And then he said, rahimahullah, illa anna ashabahu lam yakumu bihi. The problem was that the students of Al-Imam Al-Layth ibn Sa'd, they did not do justice. They did not pay sufficient attention to their teacher. Al-Imam Al-Layth ibn Sa'd, his knowledge was not gathered and spread by his students. So it appeared as if there were others who were more knowledgeable than him, but he was more knowledgeable than him. Rahimahumullah. There are a lot of lessons here for those of us who get busy with learning Islam and all of this. We should pay attention to spreading the knowledge of our teachers. It is from the aspects of the religion. We'll come back to that any other time that Allah permits. But we can move along now. Al-Imam Al-Layth ibn Sa'd, this hadith has been reported from him by his secretary, Abdullah ibn Salih, Katib al-Layth. Rahimahumullah. Qala haddathani Khalid ibn Yazid. Al-Imam al-Layth, rahimahullah, was reporting this hadith from Khalid ibn Yazid al-Jumahi. Khalid ibn Yazid al-Jumahi, who was reporting from Sa'id ibn Abi Hilal. Sa'id ibn Abi Hilal, Abu al-Ala. Sa'id ibn Abi Hilal, Abu al-Ala, was the one who was reporting from Abu Hazim. Abu Hazim is Salama ibn Dinar. Abu Hazim is Salama ibn Dinar. Rahimahumullah. And Abu Hazim was reporting from Abu Murrah. Abu Murrah is a Tabi'i. He was a freed slave of Ummu Hani, radiyallahu anha. He was the one who was reporting this hadith from Abu Hurairah. Abu Murrah is the one who was reporting from Abu Hurairah. Yazid Mawla Ummi Hani. Abu Murrah, his name is Yazid Mawla Ummi Hani. We are reciting all of these because of those of our brothers who have the Arabic texts that are having the chance of reporting to be, inshallah, a means of benefit to them. So this asar has come from Abu Murrah, Yazid Mawla Ummi Hani, just like he's also referred to as Mawla Aqil. Mawla Ummi Hani is also referred to as what? Mawla Aqil. Abu Murrah, Yazid Mawla Ummi Hani. He was the one who reported this hadith from Abu Hurairah, radiallahu anhu. أن أبا هريرة كان يستخلفه مروان. أبو مرة يزيد مولى أم هاني reported that مروان was one of the governors of Medina after the time of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. He said, كان يستخلفه مروان. Marwan used to deputize Abu Huraira to lead and administer Medina when he traveled. Maybe when he went for Hajj or when he went for Umrah or he had an assignment outside Medina, that he had to settle. Yazid, Marwan would deputize Abu Huraira. Marwan would deputize Abu Huraira over Medina. Radiallahu anhu. وكان يكون بذي الحليفة. Abu Huraira at that time, كان يكون بذي الحليفة. He used to reside in ذي الحليفة. That's why if we come back to the 14th after here, we had said that we'll combine the two because it's the same story. Zul Hulaifa is the place of residence of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu when he was in Medina. Zul Hulaifa is also referred to as Wadi Aqiq. Zul Hulaifa is also called what? Wadi Aqiq, meaning that the Aqiq Valley. Aqiq Valley is another name for what? Zul Hulaifa. We all know, those of us who make Hajj and Umrah, or who have made Hajj and Umrah, you know, if you are coming from Medina to Makkah, the miqat of the people of Medina is what? Zul Hulaifa. And if you watch, if you are driving into the masjid in Zul Hulaifa, you will understand that you are driving into a valley, because you really see, you experience the fact that the car is descending into the valley. So that's the entirety of the valley in that area is referred to as what? Wadi Aqiq, the Aqiq Valley. So Aqiq Valley is an area in Zul Hulaifa. It is used as another expression for Zul Hulaifa. In fact, there is hadith in which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us when he performed Hajj. Because when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed Hajj, he also took ihram from Zul Hulaifa. So he was saying sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam when he was in Zul Hulaifa. He passed the night in Zul Hulaifa. We would not forget that that was where Asma bint Umayyah, the wife of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, gave back to one of their children for Abu Bakr al-Siddiq while they were going for Hajj. The child was delivered at Zul Hulaifa. So that Zul Hulaifa is also called Wadi Aqiq. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on that night that Atani al-laylata atin indi Rabbi. Someone, a messenger came to me from my Lord Azza wa Jalla. When the Prophet said this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hadith was reported by Omar radiallahu anhu. Omar said, when the Prophet said that, wa huwa bil aqiq, the Prophet was at al aqiq. Where is al aqiq? Zul Hulaifa. I'm just trying to say that another name for Zul Hulaifa is what? Al aqiq. That person who came from Allah to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the angel who was sent, he came and told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Salli fi hadha al-wadi al-mubarak. Observe 2 units of prayer here in this blessed valley. Pray 2 units of prayer. Where is that blessed valley? Wadi Aqiq. What is another name for Wadi Aqiq? Zul Hulaifa. So you see that the 12th report here in our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, it mentions it as Zul Hulaifa. In the 14th report, it mentions it as what? Al-Aqiq. So Al-Aqiq is the same thing as Zul Hulaifa. And Zul Hulaifa is the same thing as what? Al-Aqiq. That is the miqat of the people of Medina. And it was a valley. It still occurs as a valley till today. This was where Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was residing. He took residence in a place in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told by an angel from Allah that this is a blessed land. Abu Huraira went and took his residence in that blessed land, radiallahu anhu. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu has a residence in Zul Hulaifa. فَكَانَتْ أُمُّهُ فِي بَيْتٍ وَهُوَ فِي آخَرَ. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu had an apartment, and he kept his mother radiallahu anha. The name of the mother of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was Umayma bint Subayh. Umayma bint Subayh. The mother of Abu Huraira. Let's note this point. The mother of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa radiallahu anha was Umayma bint Subayh. Umayma bint Subayh was the mother of Abu Huraira. So Abu Huraira was staying in a residence, and he kept his mother in the second apartment in the house. Fi baytin wa huwa fi akhar. Abu Huraira was in a house, he kept his mother in a house. Qala, it was reported Abu Murra reported that fa'iza arada an yakhruja, whenever Abu Huraira was going to go out of the house, waqafa ala babiha radiyallahu anha,
Abu Huraira would stand in front of the door of his mother's apartment. Faqala, he would now say, in the report in the 14th hadith, it said that فَإِذَا دَخَلَ أَرْضَهُ صَوْحَ بِأَعْلَى صَوْتِهِ. When Abu Huraira entered, although in the 12th report it said it when he was going out, but it also says when he's coming in, he will also say the same thing. So it means when he's going out and when he's coming in, this is what he says. And he says it, the A'la Sawti. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that with the loudest of his voice. He shouts out to say it when he stands in front of his mother's apartment. What will he say? He would say, As-salamu alayki ya ummata. As-salamu alayki ya ummata. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. He would say, As-salamu alayki. May Allah's peace be upon you, ya ummata. Ummata is another way of saying ummi. Ummata is another way of saying what? Ummi. Inshallah, we'll come back to this, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used these kinds of expressions when he spoke to Fatima. He would say, binta. So these kinds of expressions are used. Inshallah, we'll come back to them. But today, the point of reference is being nice to parents. So you will see Abu Huraira expressing, saying to Slim and say, oh, mommy, my mother, assalamu alaik. Mama, assalamu alaik. Mama, assalamu alaik. This was how Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu would shout radiallahu anhu whenever he was greeting his mother in the morning. And you would also see that it would conform with the statement of Abdullah ibn Umar, who advised that the child should have something to do with his parents, especially his mother, in the morning. It means that, so the well-known thing, dear brothers and sisters, these are our early Muslims, these are our Salaf, and these are their approach to their parents. Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, Abdullah ibn Umar, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, these are our Salaf. We can see how they relate with their parents. So if you say, I'm Salafi, I'm Salafi, I'm Salafi, don't forget. These are your Salaf. It is not just all about Aqidah. It's not all about the issues of Manhaj. But don't forget, it also has to do with our Akhlaq and our Mu'amalat. Of course, these two things also would fall under the issues of the Manhaj of the individual. Let us change our attitude to our mothers and our fathers. We'll come back to it, inshallah, in one of the ahadith that we'll read today. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu would raise his voice, صَوْحَ بِأَعْلَى صَوْتِهِ. He would shout out in the loudest of his voice, and he will say, As-salamu alayki ya ummata wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We can see he completes discipline 30. This is from the aspects of kindness to parents. He won't just say, Salamu alaykum. He would complete it to his mother. Abu Huraira would say, As-salamu alaykum, or As-salamu alayki wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is complete taslim. This is also from the aspects of kindness to parents, because he was asking for Allah's blessings and barakat upon his mother. And he did that in the best of forms. He shouts it out and expresses it and say, oh, my mother. As-salamu alayki wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So when he does that, fatakul wa alayka ya bunayya, the mother returns in a similar manner. Oh, my son, and upon you too, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ya rahmatullah. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. She says the same thing. If we go to the 14th report, she would also say, wa alayka salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So the same way that he has made the taslim, completing the entire three expressions of taslim by way of showing kindness to his mother to Umayma bint Subayh, would also reply by saying the three full expressions of taslim to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Fayaqul, after that, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu will say, Rahimakillahu kama rabbaytini saghira. Rahimakillahu kama rabbaytini saghira. May Allah shower blessings and compassions on you, oh mama. Mama, may Allah shower compassions on you, كما ربيتني صغيرا as you have nurtured me while I was small. فتقول, and she would reply, رضي الله عنها, رحمك الله كما بررتني كبيرا. May Allah shower his compassion also and mercy on you, O Abu Huraira, my dear son, كما بررتني صغيرا, as you have also been كبيرا, as you have also been kind towards me, you have also been compassionate towards me, you have also been dutiful towards me now that I am old. Thumma idha arada an yadkhula. And then when Abu Huraira returns from his outings, he wants to enter his apartments. Yadkhulu sana'a mithla dhalik. Thumma idha arada an yadkhula sana'a mithla dhalik. When Abu Huraira intends to come back into the house, he comes to the perhaps the gates of the house, because there are other reports. If I remember vividly, Al-Imam Ibn Abi Shayba in his Musannaf, he has an athar that one of the things Abu Huraira will do when he goes out of his house and when he comes out of his house is that he has a small musalla at the entrance. He used to make two rakats of nafil when he goes out, and when he comes into, he makes two rakats of nafil. So I do not have a doubt that these are some of the things that he makes two rakats of nafil. He calls out his mother, sister Salim, and prays for the mother when he goes out. When he comes in, he makes two rakats of nafil, and then he makes the tafsir. He prays for the mother and then goes in. The mother too prays for him. They pray for themselves. This was the kind of relationship that existed between Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu and his mother, Umayma bintu Subayh. This was a very, very great relationship between Abu Huraira. His knowledge being half of an ummah. Abu Huraira has reported the largest number of ahadith in this ummah. His narrations are over 19,000 ahadith that he has reported. And from these 19,000, Al-Imam al-Bukhari and Muslims have reported over 7,500 from Abu Huraira alone. That's why when the scholars talk about Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, they say Hafizul Ummah. Hafizul Ummah. This was a man who used to be called Abdushams. Abu Huraira used to be called Abdushams, the slave of the sun, because that was what his people were worshipping. They were worshipping the sun. There are other reports about the name that he had before he accepted Islam, but this is the most correct according to the scholars of Islam. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he said this is the most correct because it has been reported by Al-Imam ibn Khuzaima with an isnad that is sahih. That was that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, before he accepted Islam, his name was what? Abdushams. And when he accepted Islam, Al-Imam al-Zahabi rahimahullah, said there are many names that the people have said. Like we will see in this report, in the 14th report, if you look below it, Musa ibn Ya'qub, one of those, Az-Zuma'i, one of those who have reported who is in the isnad of the 14th hadith, he said, and the correct name of Abu Huraira is what? Was Abdullah ibn Amr. That was what he said. But the most correct thing about the name of Abu Huraira when he became a Muslim was that he was Abdul Rahman ibn Sakh. The most correct name. Al-Imam al-Zahabi said that, rahimahullah, after an iqra, and after his istiqra, after duly studying the various texts regarding this, he said the correct thing, rahimahullah, is that his name is Abdul Rahman ibn Sakhr, wa huwa min arbab al-istiqra. And Al-Imam al-Zahabi is from the masters of those who did wide studies on these kinds of matters, as Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani has said in Nukhbatul Fikr, the Sharh of Nuzhatul Nazar. So Al-Imam al-Zahabi concludes that the real name of Abu Huraira before Islam, and likewise Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar, before Islam he was what? Abdushams. When he accepted Islam, he was what? Abdul Rahman. Rashid radiallahu anhu. When he accepted Islam, he had accepted Islam in Yemen before he came to Medina. He arrived in Medina in the 7th year of Hijrah. He accepted Islam. He had a slave and he had his mother. He was not going to leave his mother behind. So he came along with his mother, who was at that time a mushrika. And I would like to cite how his mother accepted Islam, because that is also from the aspects of showing kindness and returning the goodness of our parents with goodness. from the aspects of returning the goodness of parents is that those of our parents, father or mother, who are not Muslims, we as children must make good efforts to be sure that we bring them back into Islam, which is their asset. Any one of us, brothers and sisters, as a Salafi, you have a duty on you from showing kindness, from birrul walidain, and from the biggest of them that you will do is to save her from the path of Jahannam. From the biggest of birr to parents is you remove her from the path of Jahannam. You bring her onto the path of al-Jannah. That is, you remove her from shirk. You remove her perhaps from Christianity. You remove her from Judaism and bring her upon the path of Islam. The other aspect of this is that for those of us who have parents who are still upon the path of innovations, instead of becoming estranged, instead of distancing yourself from your mother and your father, because you still have a duty, we'll come back to that when we read how to relate with parents who are mushrikun. We'll come back to it. In this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, those of us who still have parents who are not upon the sunnah, from the best of the things you can do to your parents is to educate them sufficiently enough and bring them upon the path of sunnah. It's a very, very big mistake to think that when we are encouraged to disconnect from the people of innovations, the parents are among. This is a wrong thinking people have. Even when the parent is a mushrik, you still have a duty to bring them away from the path of shirk into the path of Islam. If they are not from the people of sunnah, you still have a duty to bring them from the paths of innovations onto the path of Islam. Unless when doing that, they involve you yourself getting lost, maybe because of insufficient knowledge, or maybe because of the steadfastness from yourself is not strong enough. Then you have to try to save yourself first, because the one who has not a thing cannot give to another person. If you don't have sufficient knowledge, you can't educate anybody. So perhaps from the things you need to do is go and learn, strengthen your knowledge, strengthen your deen, then come back to be sure that you can remove your parents from these parts of deviations. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us all of those of our brothers who have parents who are not Muslims. May Allah guide these parents to the path of Islam. And those amongst parents who are not upon the path of sunnah, may Allah guide them upon the path of sunnah. May Allah make them his friends and be their friends. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, when he accepted Islam in Yemen, he came with his mother and his slave to Medina. When they almost got to Medina, the slave ran away from Abu Huraira. But the fact that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu got aware that they were close to Medina, he did not go on to search for the slave. He left the slave to go. So he came into Medina himself alone together with his mother. So Abu Huraira was with his mother. Let us read this narration from Sahih Muslim. What then happened between Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who had accepted Islam and had arrived in Medina, had met the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had started to learn from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Huraira was not doing any business in Medina. He was not selling, he was not buying, he was not doing anything. All he paid his attention to in the last 3 years that he met the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was learn Islam. Write down and document Islam and memorize the religion. Memorize whatever he heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet prayed for him never to forget whatever he heard from him. Abu Huraira has a dua from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith is also occurring in Sahih Muslim that whatever Abu Huraira hears from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will never forget it. Despite that, he paid attention a third of the night. Abu Huraira spent in writing, documenting a hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had an entire book, he was documenting volumes that he documented, statements he wrote from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he handed over to his student, Wahab ibn Munabbi. It's well known. Sahifa to Abi Huraira, the hadith that Abu Huraira was writing down, he handed it over to Wahab ibn Munabbi. And most of it, if not all of it, occur in Musnad Imam Ahmad today, from the Musnad of Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu, from the reports of Wahab Ibn Munabbih. He had others that he was teaching others from the same book he was writing down when the Prophet was alive. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is a student of knowledge, talibul ilm, with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, learning and growing his Islam, documenting the Sunnah, waking up in the night to read, to write, to memorize the Sunnah, and spending the second part of the night for Qiyamul Layl. It was a third of the night that he slept. So he had three parts in his night. The part in which he slept, radiallahu anhu, the part in which he was observing his Qiyamul Layl, and the part in which he wrote down and memorized a hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was actively learning Islam while his mother was upon shirk, and they were both residing inside the same house. Abu Huraira and his mother were living together radiallahu anhu. He said radiallahu anhu, kuntu ad'u ummi ila al-islam. I used to invite my mother unto Islam, wa hiya mushrika. At that time, she was a polytheist. Fada'awtuha yawman. I invited my mother one day. Fa'asma'atni fi rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam wa akram. And then she made a statement regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I hated the statement she made about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So dear brothers, you have heard it now. Don't make the negative statements your mother or your father will make about Islam a reason to abandon them and not make efforts to bring them onto the path of Islam. Don't make that a reason for setting them aside. When Abu Huraira's mother was making negative statements about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it did not stop Abu Huraira from making efforts to bring his mother and his mother into al-Islam. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, فَأَتَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَأَنَا أَبْكِي. So that day when she made that statement, he couldn't contain it. He was still not insulting her. This is part of the benefit we gain, that we must show kindness to our parents. وَإِنْ ظَلَمَا. This is zulm. وَإِنْ ظَلَمَا. He was still kind. He was not abusive. Say, who are you talking about? And then begins to insult the mother because the mother insulted the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He kept quiet, but he started weeping. He cannot reply his mother, and he has a duty towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu left the mother and he started crying. He went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulallah, inni kuntu ad'u ummi ila al-islam fata'ba alayya. Abu Huraira was telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I was inviting my mother to Islam and she was rejecting. فَدَعَوْتُهَا الْيَوْمِ. Today I have invited her. I have also told her today. I have spoken to her nicely about Islam. فَأَسْمَعَتْنِي فِيكَ مَا أَكْرَهُ. And then she started saying something about you that I detest, that I hated. رَضِيَ anhu. فَدْعُ اللَّهَ عَنْ يَهَدِيَ أُمَّ أَبِي هُرَيْرَ. O Messenger of Allah, ud'u Allah an yahdiya umma Abi Huraira. Pray that Allah should guide the mother of Abu Huraira. This hadith we are reading occurs in Sahih Muslim. Faqala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Abu Huraira made that request, the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma ihdi umma Abi Huraira. O Allah, ihdi umma Abi Huraira ya Rabbana. O Allah, guide the mother of Abu Huraira. This makes us understand. From the path of making efforts that our parents should come onto Islam, it should involve good dua. And we should seek the means of dua being answered. Here, Abu Huraira came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask for his dua regarding his mother. It means when we meet, inshallah, people we hope are sincere and are pious, have good dealings with Allah, we can ask them to pray that Allah should guide our parents onto Islam if they are not upon the path of Islam. This is also from the aspects of kindness and returning goodness for the goodness that our parents had shown to us. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made that dua, Abu Huraira said, فَخَرَجْتُ مُسْتَبْشِرًا بِدَعْوَةِ نَبِيِّ اللَّهِ. sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I went out immediately, mustabshiran. I was happy and hopeful out of the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made. He wants to go and see the result of that dua. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he wanted to go and see the result. What has happened to my mother? فَلَمَّا جِئْتُ فَصِرْتُ إِلَى الْبَابِ. When Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, for the purpose of brevity, was returning home, he got to the door and met the house. I mean, the door was locked. And he started hearing water was dropping from the mother. She was already having a ghusl. Radiallahu anha, Umayma bint Subayh. Allah had answered the dua of the Prophet. The mother had made up her mind to accept Islam. So she made the ghusl and she took off her dir. Her dir is her gown, her huge white gown. And in this report in Sahih Muslim, out of the haste, because she told Abu Huraira, remain where you are, wait there, I'm coming. So she quickly took a ghusl and then she came out. Abu Huraira said she even forgot to wear her hijab. This is going to explain that from the lessons that this mother, Umayma bint Subayh, had learned from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, while we are the procedure for a person to accept Islam. Because she understood that when someone accepts Islam, the person should give a ghusl, like the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the one who had accepted Islam, Al-Kianka Sha'ara al-Kufri waqtatin. From that is that they shave the hairs of kufu and they make khitan for males who had not been circumcised. So from the things of sunnah connected to accepting Islam is making ghusl. This woman made ghusl. Where did she hear it from that she should make ghusl? Where did she hear it from that she should wear a dirha, a long gown? Where did she hear it from that she should wear hijab? But she was upon all this when Abu Huraira came. So when Abu Huraira came, radiallahu anhu, she opened the door, radiallahu anha, Umayma bint Subayh. She opened the door and said, Ashhadu ya Abu Huraira, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. I testify that there is no deity that deserves worship except Allah. And I also testify that Muhammad, who she was abusing moments ago, radiallahu anha, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, she'd now become someone who is testifying that the Prophet was and is abduhu wa rasulihi, the servant of Allah and the messenger of Allah. This goes to make us understand, those of us that Allah has placed in the position of guiding the people, don't take issues personal. The fact that the mother of Abu Huraira was abusing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it did not prevent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to still pray for her to be guided onto Islam. Many of us, ustaz, sheikhs, fadila to sheikh, once you hear that someone speaks negative about you, you become so incensed, you want to also speak, return negative for negative, you don't pray. And Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, someone came to him once and told him that a particular scholar spoke evil about him. Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, someone came to report another person to him that so and so have spoken evil about you. You hear what the Imam said, rahimahullah. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal said, Rajulun salihun ibtuliya bina. This was a pious man. Ibtuliya bina. He was tried. Allah used us to try him. We became a means of trial for him. Because of hasad, he was jealous, so he spoke evil of Ahmad. That did not make Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal to return and start saying, oh, so he's speaking evil of me, let me also expose him. He's bad, he's evil. Yesterday, he stole my money. He did this yesterday, he did that yesterday. You did not say that because before he spoke evil about you. You are only saying that by way of returning evil for evil. You are only saying that because you return evil for evil. So now, should we say you are defending Islam or you are defending your person? Okay, yes, he was thief. He stole yesterday. He told a lie. He deceived someone yesterday because he spoke evil of you. But in this case, Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal said, Rajulun salihun ibtuliya bina. That man is a righteous man, but he became... Allah made us a means of trial for him. So as an individual who guides people to Islam, when people speak evil of you, don't make it the reason why you have to speak evil and expose the next person was because he spoke evil regarding you. This is a character that is not befitting at all. When Abu Huraira's mother spoke evil about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what she got in return was dua from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for her to be returned to Islam, and she was actually returned to Islam, which is the asul of every human being that was given birth to. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu quickly ran back. First dua has been answered from Abu Huraira, and this is from the greatest of the kindness of Abu Huraira to his mother. So you can see it's not just about standing out on her apartment and shouting, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. If Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu had not done sufficient good deed to be sure that the mother came to Islam, why will it be easy for him to be saying Assalamu alaikum to her? Would he be saying taslim to a woman who is mushrika? He would be doing that radiallahu anhu. So he prayed bigger for it, made good efforts. He paid dearly for it to be sure that his mother accepted Islam. We all have this duty regarding our parents. For those of them who are not upon Islam, to bring them upon Islam. For those of them who are not upon the path of Sunnah, to bring them upon the path of Sunnah. May Allah make this easy for all of us. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said, فَرَجَعْتُ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I returned to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. فَأَتَيْتُهُ. When I came to him, وَأَنَا أَبْكِي مِنَ الْفَرَحِ. I was crying out of joy, out of delight, out of happiness. Abu Huraira was crying. My mother has accepted. He was crying again. Radiallahu anhu. This time out of joy and happiness. Abu Huraira said, Radiallahu anhu. قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَبْشِرْ. O Messenger of Allah, good news for you, good news. فَقَدْ إِسْتَجَابَ اللَّهُ دَعْوَتَكَ وَهَدَى أُمَّ أَبِي هُرَيْرَ. Allah has accepted your dua and has guided my mother to Islam. فَحَمِدَ اللَّهَ وَأَثْنَى عَلَيْهِ وَقَالَ خَيْرًا. The Prophet thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then started saying good things. The house started saying good regarding Abu Huraira, and started saying good things regarding the mother of Abu Huraira, and started saying things that were good. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Abu Huraira said, Kultu ya Rasulallah. I said, O Messenger of Allah, Udu'u Allah an yuhabibani ana wa ummi ila ibadihi al-mu'minin. O Messenger of Allah, I still have one request. Udu'u Allah an yuhabibani ana wa ummi ila ibadihi al-mu'minin. Beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make me beloved, me, ana, and yuhabibani ana, that Allah should make me be beloved, wa ummi, likewise my mother, ila ibadihi al-muslimin, by the believer, believing Muslim. Any Muslim who believes in Allah and his messenger should love me and should love my mother. O Messenger of Allah, beg Allah that every mu'min should love me and love my mother. Wa yuhabbibahum ilayna. Make me and my mother from those who also love the Muslims. Make us be beloved to the Muslims. Make the Muslims be beloved to us, myself and my mother. Qala faqala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahumma habbib ubaydaka hadha. Aba Huraira wa ummahu ila ibadika al-mu'minin. O Allah, habib ubaydaka. This your young slave. This your young servant, Abu Huraira. Radiallahu anhu. Allahumma habib ubaydaka hadha. O Allah, this your young servant. Make him be beloved. Together wa ummahu, together with his mother, ila ibadika al-mu'minin, to your servants who are believers, to your believing servants. Make Abu Huraira be a person that every mu'min will love. Wa habib ilayhim al-mu'minin. And make the believers, make them also love the believers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did that dua for Abu Huraira. And then Abu Huraira said, فَمَا خُلِكَ مُؤْمِنٌ يَسْمَعُ بِهِ. No mu'min, no person who truly believes in Allah and the Day of Qiyamah would be created. وَلَا يَرَانِي إِلَّا أَحَبَّنِي. nor would anyone see me except that he loved me. No Muslim, no one who truly believes in Allah except that the person loves Abu Huraira. No one who sees Abu Huraira except that he loves Abu Huraira. This is one of the tests of faith. One test of faith is that, how do you feel about Abu Huraira? That's why from the people of innovations, there is no one of them except that they hated Abu Huraira. It is from the symbol of absence of iman or weak iman that the peoples of innovation, especially the Shia, the Khawarij, and all these, they have a hate. May Allah protect us for Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, the Prophet had prayed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, habib rubaydaka hadha Aba Huraira wa ummahu ila ibadika al-mu'minin wa habib ilayhim al-mu'minin. Make the believers love them, make them love the believers. This is also from the aspects of kindness to the parents, that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu prayed that Allah should love not himself alone, make himself and his mother be loving to the believers. Inshallah, we'll still come back to another part of these dealings between Abu Huraira and his mother in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. But we would like to suffice here. So from the aspects of goodness, I have read this hadith totally, completely from Sahih Muslim. And that is because from the aspects of goodness to parents, paying back goodness is what Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu has done. He has, radiallahu anhu, brought his mother from kufr into shirk. And that is from the biggest aspects of being kind to our parents. We have read this hadith, and it means that we have also read the 12th hadith and the 14th hadith in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. It remains the 13th hadith. The major lesson here is from the aspects of showing kindness and goodness, paying back goodness for the goodness that our parents had done to us. The time we have is very, very, very little, but I think we should quickly read the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As and leave it at that so that we can stop at this chapter, inshallah. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Abu Nu'aym. Abu Nu'aym is al-Imam al-Fadl ibn Hukayn. We mentioned him in the last class in the Athar of Urwa ibn Zubayr. So al-Fadl ibn Hukayn is Abu Nu'aym. الإمام البخاري سيد رحمه الله حدثنا أبو نعيم قال حدثنا سفيان سفيان يس الإمام سفيان الثوري عن عطاء بن سعيد عطاء بن سعيد is the تابع التابعي who is reporting this hadith عن أبيه his father is السائب ابن مالك عطاء بن سعيد is reporting from his father is السائب ابن مالك عن عبد الله بن عمرو this hadith is from the hadith of عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص قال who said جاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. A man approached the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يبعيه على الهجرة. This man came into Medina to give an oath of allegiance to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. وترك أبويه يبكيان. While he had left his father and mother crying, he came to Medina to make bay'ah with the Prophet for hijrah. He had left his people. Meanwhile, his father and his mother were crying. فَقَالَ And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اِرْجِعْ إِلَيْهِمَا وَأَدْحِكْهُمَا كَمَا بُكَيْتَهُمَا sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, اِرْجِعْ إِلَيْهِمَا وَأَدْحِكْهُمَا كَمَا بُكَيْتَهُمَا. Go back to your parents. Return to your parents. The Prophet said so, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَأَدْحِكْهُمَا كَمَا بُكَيْتَهُمَا وَأَدْحِكْهُمَا. Go back and make them smile. Go back and delight them. Go back and make them happy. كَمَا بُكَيْتَهُمَا. As you had made them cry. This means that from the aspects of relating with our parents, is that when we make mistakes, when we err, when we are incorrect in a way that we have behaved with our parents, we should quickly go back and rectify ourselves. When we relate with our parents, our mother, our father, and we make mistakes, quickly go back and return. This is also with respect to all aspects of the religion. If you commit a sin, you see that I've done something bad. quickly look for something good to do, because inna al-hasanat yudhibna sayyat, like Allah told us in the Quran. Good deeds cancel out evil deeds. They cancel out mistakes. They cancel out mistakes. The Prophet also told us that. He says, وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُوهَا. You should cancel out, follow up a sin, an evil deed with a good one. تَمْحُوهَا. The good one will cancel out the good one. The evil one. The good one will cancel out the evil one. So when we make mistakes, we can quickly rectify ourselves. I have always ever believed this. We are human beings and we are Muslims. And the Prophet told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that kullu bani Adam khata'u. Every one of us that we are from the children of Adam, we make mistakes, we err. I don't believe that when a person errs, then that is the end of him. If he errs, let him rectify himself. Help him to rectify himself. Help him to seek a means of amendment. Don't be a means of a problem to a person who has erred. If he has erred and is not also seeking means of amendment, make him understand that his wrong has become two. The first one is the first error. The second one is not willing to seek amendment. So a person can always amend something he had done that is bad as it is to make parents cry. Because from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar that we had read, that is from the aspects of Al-Kabair, that a child does something that makes the children now cry, that makes the parents cry. But here the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, irji'i ilayhima, go back to your parents, wa adhikhuma kama abukaytahuma, make them cry as you had made them smile, delight them, make them happy as you had made them cry. This means that we can always rectify the situation. Say this, have this in mind, oh brother and sister. Whenever you make a mistake, whenever you do something wrong, don't think that that's the end of you. You can always rectify the situation. This was the mother of Abu Huraira yesterday. Few moments ago, she was a mushrika. In the next moment, she was a mu'mina. She was a person we cannot say at-taraddito. We cannot say radiyallahu anha to few moments ago. And then few moments after, we can mention her and say radiyallahu anha. So a person, if it's a shirk, if someone can rectify shirk, they can rectify any other thing. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us understand better than we had tried to explain this hadith. I hope that we had not spent the time for too long, but I think that we can make the benefits and ask a few questions, inshallah, today, before we call it a day today, inshallah. Abba Yusuf.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum as-salamu alaykum wa barakatuh.
حياكم يا شيخنا.
How much time have
you spent?
I mean, how much time have you
spent? We have just 2 minutes left, شيخنا.
Subhanallah, no problem. We can quickly go on.
Okay. The first question here says that hadith 12 is graded as da'if, while hadith 14 hasan. What is the rationale behind this?
Barakallahu fiqh. Hadith 12 and 14, Sheikh Al-Albani graded hadith 12 to be da'if. And he made the reason for the grading to be Sa'id ibn Abi Hilal, Abu al-Ala al-Misri. He said he made ikhtilat. He mixed up relations, narrations in the later part of his life. But very many others amongst the scholars of hadith have said the other way around, that Sa'id ibn Abi Hilal is thicker. He's a reliable reporter. In fact, one of them said he did not find anywhere where it was said by the scholars of hadith that Sa'id ibn Abi Hilal mixed up reports. So if we go upon this, that specifically that was Sheikh Muhammad ibn Sa'id Raslan. And there are others too who have made statements that are similar to that, that Sa'id ibn Abi Hilal is not known to have mixed up reports. So that is one. So if we say Sa'id ibn Abi Hilal is a reliable reporter of hadith, which appears to be the most correct thing, Allahu A'lam. The second person that I felt Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, should have criticized this hadith for was Abdullah ibn Salih. Because Sheikh Al-Albani's opinion is that Abdullah ibn Salih, katibul layth, is da'if. The best of what we can get from him is that yuktabu hadithu, yani lil-i'tibar, that his reports can be written down for further research. This is the opinion of Sheikh Al-Albani. Even though this is also a way from the views of very many other scholars like Al-Imam Abu Zura. Sheikh Al-Albani was not alone in that position. That's also the position of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. But there are others like Al-Imam Abu Zura al-Razi, Abu Hatim al-Razi, Al-Hafiz al-Hajar, Al-Imam al-Zahabi, who hold that Abdullah ibn Salih Katib al-Layth is a sound reporter of hadith. He's from the teachers of Al-Imam al-Bukhari. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported one hadith from him in his Sahih. So they say Al-Imam al-Bukhari knows his report. In the report that he heard, where Katib al-Layth heard, for which some of his reports were rejected, Al-Imam al-Bukhari was not reporting those reports from him. So if Al-Imam al-Bukhari reports a hadith from Katib al-Layth, we are sure that that hadith is authentic. So Allahu Alam, as I think from what I have seen from the statements of the scholars, the hadith 12 is an authentic hadith. Allahu Alam. Sa'id ibn Abi Hilal, the stronger opinion Allah knows best, is that he did not mix up reports. And as for Abdullah ibn Salih Katib al-Layth, the strongest opinion is that he's a reliable reporter of hadith, especially when the likes of Al-Imam al-Bukhari is reporting hadith from him. This opinion regarding Abdullah ibn Salih Katib al-Layth is also the opinion of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Adam al-Ethiopi in his Sharh al-Bahr al-Muhit al-Sajjad on Sahih Muslim. I think this is what I would like to say on hadith 12. As for hadith 14, there is no issue on that because it's already graded Hassan by Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah. If either of them was weak, the both of them can come back together and make an authentic report. So there's no issue at all this report. That's why we combined it together and said that two of them is talking about the same story from the same reporter, Abu Murrah, who narrated it to Abu Hazim. And the report is still the same report of Abu Hurairah, the same incident between Abu Hurairah and his mother in the same place, Wad al-Aqiq Zul-Hulayfa. So it's a single hadith. It has the same source, even though the end is a bit different. It's the same report. Perhaps Al-Imam al-Bukhari has brought it up to make us understand that it is one and the same report. And even if people think that it may be weak, the both of them will combine to make an authentic narration. So it's an authentic report, inshallah. I hope that this clarifies that response. I'm being this fast because we spent the time. But I'm sure those of our brothers who ask this question will find their response in that answer, inshallah. Abu Bar.
This question says that...
Was this question clear? Was the answer clear?
Of course it was clear, Sheikh. Jazakallah khair. This question is asking that, please, can you give us the hadith number in Sahih Muslim for the story of Abu Hurairah?
The story of Abu Hurairah occurs in Kitabu Fada'il al-Sahaba, in Abu Hurairah. Fada'il al-Sahaba. Fada'il al-Sahaba, it occurs in Babu Min Fada'il Abi Hurairah. The Fada'il of Abu Hurairah, the virtues of Abu Hurairah. The Tarkim al-Tasalsuli, the numbering that we are used to, I don't know, but here the Tarkim is 6376, but the better way to search for a hadith in Sahih Muslim is to know the Kitab and the Bab. It occurs in Kitabu Fada'il al-Sahaba, Babu Min Fada'il Abi Huraira, some of the virtues of Abu Huraira. That is the chapter under which that hadith occurs, and it's the first hadith under that Bab on Fada'il Abi Huraira in Sahih Muslim under Kitabu Fada'il al-Sahaba, the chapter book on the virtues of the companions. Just go down the book on the companions' virtues under Sahih Muslim. You see this hadith, inshallah, in it. Allahu Alam.
Shekhana, can we take one more question or draw the curtain for today's class?
We can take two questions. Let's take two questions, inshallah.
All right, sir. This question, I want to summarize a lot of questions that are related regarding speaking ill about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What should be a Muslim disposition to a person who speaks ill of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Are the parents an exception to that?
Well, the hadith of Abu Hurairah that we have read is an example of that. The hadith of Abu Hurairah that we have read is an example of that. And I think we should suffice for now, especially with what Abu Hurairah has done. He was not presenting his mother as someone he wants to kill his mother because she spoke evil about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was not constituted authority. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was not constituted authority, and the Prophet himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw that Abu Huraira was seeking for how the woman would leave shirk and evil and then come on the path of al-Islam. This is usually the basic thing about people who commit grievous sins. The people who commit grievous sins, including speaking evil about Allah and His Messenger, should not bring it to the public. And we should not help them bring it to the public. If it will come to the to this, if not for reports, we would not have known the details of what happened between Abu Huraira and his mother, and then the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for that mother. But as for the rest of the people, because we're in a time where there's a lot of ignorance, and then the Sharia itself, the law, the constituted authority that will implement the legal punishment taking away the life of someone who abuses the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like that, as we know from other ahadith, there is hardly anywhere we can find a legal institution to carry out this judgment, because it shouldn't be a street judgment that anybody just does. It should be done by a constituted authority, just like the cases related to murder or a person who commits adultery. So if we can't find constituted authority to establish the law, then what we should do is to be sure that we increase education, educating the people, and being sure that people recognize the evil in that, rather than, you know, insisting, going on protests and demonstrations and shouting on the streets. What the best we should do is give more attention to educating the people and enlightening the people. If we have an institution where, and a country, situations where there are clear court laws, as we said, for abusing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was tried in the court of law, and the law says whoever does that should be killed, then the person should be killed. It's unfortunate that those who shout rule of law, began to shout rule of something else when this thing happened in Kano. They were the ones who say rule of law, rule of law, rule of law. The rule of law, the person was arrested to have violated the law of the land in which he violated the law. He was arrested on the same place. He was taken to a court. He passed through the normal process of rule of law. And then the appropriate judgment in the same rule of law they are talking about was to be implemented on the person. And now they start to change the game again. No rule of law, no rule of law. This is not the case. As Muslims, we have a duty. In fact, when you find a Muslim saying other than that the law should be implemented in the Kano case, then that Muslim, he needs to reorganize and check again his Islam. The Muslim who speaks against what has happened in Kano and that the law should be implemented, he needs to check again. He needs to check his Islam again, and he needs to check his balanced reasoning again. Because balanced reasoning requires that when a law is broken in a land and due process has been followed, the consequences of breaking the law should be given to those who break that law. Unfortunately, they changed the game. And then the rule of law of Islam itself requires that when anybody does what that person has done, that is what should happen to that person. So why should a Muslim think any other thing than that the law should be implemented? So may Allah protect us all. But I think if this person has not come public, as was in the case of the mother of Abu Huraira, he didn't come public, then the case should be that such person should be approached with greater education, greater enlightenment. Perhaps Allah makes it a means of guiding them onto Islam. Allahu alam. There is a lot of difference in our religion between someone who commits an evil publicly and someone who commits the evil in the secret. In Islam, the laws are so different regarding them. Someone who commits an evil publicly, someone who commits an evil in the secret. The laws are so different in this Sharia regarding the two of them. Allahu alam.
Now, this questioner is asking that a person who accepts Islam as an adult, would the person go circumcision?
Yes, the male will be circumcised. The male will be circumcised as in that hadith. And the hadith is Hassan. If a male accepts Islam and he had not been circumcised, there are cultures in which people, males, are not circumcised. If a male accepts Islam, he must be circumcised by obligation. That's almost a matter of consensus amongst the Muslims. And it conforms with that statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he says, Al-Qiyan Kashar al-Kufri waqtatin, and that hadith is Hassan. As for females, the most encouraged thing is that she should also be circumcised. That is the fatwa of Sheikh Abdullah Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz. Females too should be circumcised according to the laws of Islam. Islam wants a female who accepts Islam and is not circumcised to be duly circumcised. And there is due process for that as far as our religion, Islam, is concerned. Allahu Alam.
Now, this question says...
I think we can make this the last question, Abi.
Okay, all right, Ustaz.
Bismillah.
Inshallah. It was reported that Abdullah ibn Amr is the more knowledgeable because he writes and Abu Huraira does not write. How do we make, how do we harmonize?
Abu Huraira used to write, especially in the later times. Abu Huraira used to write, especially in the later times. He used to write, radiallahu anhu, just like Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. But it is clear that Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, who had accepted Islam right from Makkah, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As had accepted Islam right from Makkah. Abu Huraira accepted Islam in the last 3 years. So you can see the gap. And Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As had known how to write since a long time. So he started writing and writing. Do you understand? So Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As started writing before Abu Huraira. But that does not mean that Abu Huraira would not have surpassed him. More so when he became someone who, to whom or for whom the Prophet had prayed that whatever Abu Huraira heard from me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah not make him forget. And he stopped forgetting anything he heard, as far as it was a statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We did not hear that regarding Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. And the fact that those last 3 years, Abu Huraira did not do any other thing than learning and writing and memorizing from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when any other companions did any other thing. So it could be that Abu Huraira, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, from the very beginning, had more reports, more narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than Abu Huraira, and he became surpassed by Abu Huraira. There is no conflict in both reports, inshallah. I hope that it is clear. I think we can stop here, Bibi Abu Abdul Bar.
Hayyakumma Allah, Shaykhana.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته امين وانتم